the car just...
I don't know if you've seen what Alex Wirtz has said, which is that yes. they've got random aerodynamic stalling. So the car just loses downforce.
Yes.
Great. Which
at random worst, points.
Possible. It seems that it's, clearly the car is inconsistent. I think what's worrying about Alex's comments is that, we've kind of had this before in previous years, as he was describing it. But this year it's like, full stall of the underfloor, which means pretty much that you lose 60% of the car's downforce front and rear. No driver's going to keep that steady on the track. Williams, the entire situation at Williams, ignoring the technical side, continues to be, a big worry. They just don't seem to have the direction and the drive that, a team of that stature, of that history, really demand and deserve. And what we're seeing is, with the problems that the car have is just a kind of a factor of, the wider issues that Williams have got in terms of, how they're funding themselves, how they're managing themselves, what direction they want to take, which is very sad because, we've all loved Williams over the years, and it's surprising to think they've been around for 41 years and all the success they've had. This problem they've got is pretty fundamental. And as much as they're talking about the floor is stalling and the diffuser's stalling, which basically necessarily means that just the aero just stops working completely. The problem isn't necessarily with the floor. As we understand, it's much towards the front of the car with the front wing and to an extent the barge boards and bits and pieces. And these parts have got very long lead times. And, Williams aren't known for turning around upgrades very quickly. No. It's always been one of their, surprisingly for a company that is an engineering company, their sort of manufacturing and production has always been a little bit on the slow side. They've never been a team that throws lots of updates at the car, on a race-by-race basis. So hopefully they can recover, and hopefully it will be before the summer break, because that's the sort of timescales that they're talking about now.
Yeah.
We've got quite a few races before we all get a few weeks of peace and quiet in August. So, it's not looking great. And, at the same time, the drivers are struggling, and from what I understand, there's lots of disagreement at the top levels of Williams and all the various people involved in that amongst themselves as to what's going on and what the future of the team will be.
And is this the sort of thing that can be fixed with a couple of new parts, or will it need an entire car redesign?
No, I mean, I think it's, it is the very big aero part. So, a front wing is a huge undertaking if that needs fundamental changing. But with these things, often what you find is that it's not everything needs to change. There's something somewhere that's causing a problem. And if you can get that specific area to get working again, everything else should come good. Somewhat like Force India have kind of gone through this year as well. But Williams aren't, kind of really maintaining expectations by saying, it could be the summer break before these parts come through. So, we've got some races which may suit Williams, even with the sort of lack of stability. Canada should be an obvious race for Williams just to straight line a good result, much like they did in Baku. So that should work for them. I'm not sure if Monaco is going to be such a great race for them, but it's very hard to predict depending on sort of how fundamental their issues are.
I don't suppose in the paddock at all you heard of what the opinion was of Robert Kubica's going FP1, did you? Was there any paddock talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's. I mean, I'm not the greatest judge of drivers, and I must say I didn't look at the times particularly, but that it's hard to pick apart people's comments because I think everyone wants Robert to do so well.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard from people, they said that, he was clearly quicker than his fellow drivers, with it being tyre corrected and all of that sort of stuff. And, the people that have offered that opinion with, some data to back it up, I would tend to believe. And, Robert, we know Robert's a great driver. He's got the experience, albeit, he's kind of been out of the car for quite a while. And, you know, and then there's the other aspects of, you know, someone that the team can have to lead them and to direct them a bit, which I think would be a good thing because, you know, all due respect to the two drivers that they've currently got, I don't think they are, you know, leaders. And, you know, they're clearly sort of lacking the experience and the direction that someone else should have. So I think, you know, Williams may have some difficult decisions coming up. And, you know, hopefully that would see Robert get some races in.
A good news story might just be good for morale, I'd imagine, you know, within the team. You know, some good
press. Exactly. You know, it's, you know, there's lots of aspects to what makes a team successful. And, you know, people just being G'd up by something, you know, it will always somehow produce some fantastic results. So, you know, maybe putting them in the car is an option. But then, you know, you've got two very well-funded drivers, and dropping one of them, even if it's just for a few races, wouldn't go down well with the accounts department, I would imagine.
I imagine paying salaries is quite good for morale as well.
Exactly. You know, there's a difficult situation at Williams, and again, it kind of goes back to sort of leadership and direction across the team as a whole, which I think, you know, it really is the issue there that's kind of fundamental underlying all of the other things that you might want to talk about, team.
Did Williams actually bring any major upgrades to Barcelona? Because they appeared to be very understated. If they were, you touched on Force India as well. But Force India, did they always bring a big upgrade at some point early season? But again, I didn't really see anything for Force India either.
No, I mean Williams talked up an upgrade that they brought, and I think most of it was kind of centered around the barge boards and the details around that area. As far as I could see, they had the same pair of front wing specs that they've had for a few races now. But I think what you find, I mean, I spoke to Paddy and to Andy Green for both these teams, and both of them saying, well, yeah, you know, you have the ongoing development, but there's also a point where if you've got a problem, there's no point throwing other bits at the car if they're not going to be working with the problem that you've got. So, I think Williams were a bit more muted. Force India was limited as well, but they were doing a lot of work on Friday to understand this aero problem that they've got. And it's been simplified a lot down to the flow through the side pods and the Coke bottle area, and that's very much where you could see a lot of the sensors being mounted. But, you know, Andy Green was quite honest with me and was sort of saying that there's a number of issues on the car, some of them bigger than others. Some of them will get looked at. Obviously, the big issue, which we understand to be the side pod airflow thing, but there's other things around the car that they need to sort of catch up on. And we have to remember that, you know, Williams aren't the best funded team in the world, but certainly Force India definitely aren't. They're probably one of the least funded teams or one of the physically smallest teams out there as well. So they really have to be very careful on how they prioritise what they put on the car. And, you know, Barcelona wasn't really a great race weekend for them in terms of performance. You know, I think the drivers ended up putting some, obviously Perez got the result for them. But, you know, you get the impression that Force India are much closer to solving their problems than the Williams are. And then obviously they can then start to crank on the performance because, you know, they had a sort of, you know, a tough winter financially, and they are still restricted as they go through the year as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen all the rumours about the team may or may not be up for sale. There may or may not be a buyer. Vijay Mallya may or may not want X amount of money for it, which is overvalued. It must be difficult to actually develop anything under that level of uncertainty, because is it going to be a case of are we putting all this into the car for somebody else to reap the rewards, or you know, what are we as a team going to get out of it in the end?
Very non-committal.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at the history of Force India going back to, I'm trying to remember the order of it, what was it, Spyker, Midland, Jordan, even Jordan under various big different sponsors. The great thing about that team is that the tight-knit technical department that seems somehow, as we've seen over these years, to put out a great car despite what is going on in the boardroom. And all they need is just to be, you know, to have that cash in the bank to allow them to, you know, hire the people to buy the carbon fiber and, you know, send stuff out for manufacturing. It's literally just the cash they need. They've got all the skills in house that, you know, they could possibly want, and they've become very efficient at this. And you know, that you see already this year, you know, if you think of the issues they've had, you know, they're still competitive within the midfield, and they've had some good results, and they're getting, you know, point finishes in despite everything. So I think, you know, if they do get more money through the year, they will continue to develop. They obviously have to decide at what point they cut off for the big changes for next year. But, you know, that's an annual issue that every team faces. And I think if they did have a change of ownership, I don't think it would affect the car or the technical team. You know, you would certainly hope that no one coming in would want to try and run the technical side of the team if it's not what they're core skill is. You really are better off leaving those guys to do the fantastic job that they have been doing. And, you know, I think the team would potentially carry on as, you know, the same underlying team that they've always been. So, you know, fingers crossed for those guys. I mean, I think they really just could do with an injection of cash, whichever direction that comes from.
Might even be a Mercedes technical partnership, if you believe some certain internet round rumours.
There's lots of talk about this sort of customer listed parts thing, isn't there? I mean, Williams were mooted to be potentially going that direction, which is kind of the Haas model, where you buy everything apart from the the crash structures, the tub, the bodywork, and the radiator, strangely, which seems to be an odd thing that gets included in that, things that you have to make yourself. You know, I don't believe, I mean, God, Williams are called Williams Grand Prix Engineer, and if they went down the listed parts route, you might as well just, you know, close the doors and call them something else. And equally, I don't see Force India going that route anytime soon. I'm sure, you know, there's maybe a few bits and pieces they could pick up from someone like Mercedes, which would maybe reduce some of the development costs. But I think everyone now is kind of hanging fire on those kinds of core decisions because they don't really know exactly what's going to happen for 2021, when potentially there could be a budget cap, there could be some spec parts, and, you know, jumping now to, you know, lose some of your design skills, to lose some of the in-house manufacturing resources could actually be detrimental, because once you've lost that, it takes a while to build that skill back up into the team, even if it's only over a couple of seasons. I don't think anyone would go further down the kind of the Haas model just yet. And yeah, potentially Haas may want to consider how they tackle 2021, given whatever regulations will come out for that year.
If the teams can actually end up agreeing on something with FOM by the time it all needs to be set in stone, of course, because you can guarantee if there's real changes coming through, there's going to be arguing from all sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, at the moment it looks as though some directions are being found which work for the general good, shall we say. You know, I think some teams won't gain as much because they simply don't have that much money already. And clearly the bigger teams will lose out. But equally then, the bigger teams have got ways of budgeting and managing, you know, staff in other areas of their business, compared with smaller teams. So I think, you know, potentially we'll have something that everyone will moan about, but eventually will probably potentially work out quite nicely for the teams. And there'll still be an imbalance. You can't get rid of that. It's just not possible. It's not in the real world, is it? But I think, you know, it does look like it's potentially going in a good direction.
Yeah, you mentioning Haas before. When we had you on pre-season, we were saying about how that you know, everybody expected, or a few people rather in the paddock expected, Haas to be like the surprise package, maybe even the best of the rest. The car has turned out to be pretty good so far. It's just that they've had a couple of runs of bad luck and some massive driver errors. But you know, did they bring anything in the way of updates to Spain? Are they still pushing forward? Because we said at the time when you're on preseason, Haas always start well, and then drift off as the season goes on, because they haven't got that development curve that the rest of the teams have got.
No, I mean, yeah, it's exactly the case. But they had nothing, as far as I understood. I mean, I didn't actually speak to the team, but I know other people that said, no, we haven't got anything. Our schedule for updates doesn't fit in with Spain, so they're still waiting for parts, which, you know, is one of the restrictions that they have in because of the model they operate. It's not the Haas team that's making these. It's, you know, it's Dallara and lots of these, you know, subcontracting companies around the world. You know, Haas themselves, I don't think they have it. They make anything. I think they tell a lot. We don't have a few machining tools at Bambury, but by and large, everything's done down in Italy by Dallara. So yeah, they are somewhat hamstrung by that. But yes, you know, it's a good car. It's a very solid car. Again, much like the Sauber, but it's being really helped by being pushed along by a very good Ferrari engine. I think all of the ridiculous talk about it being a Ferrari copy now seems to have died away. Because it clearly isn't, although some people, I'm sure, will always raise that thing because of the listed parts approach. And, yeah.